helping you and all that. And thank you. Now I would like for you to give it to who it belongs, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. All right. Thank you. Now, don't sit down. Don't sit down. Stand up. Stay up. We're going to make a couple of declarations. Now, when I started this big old fast I'm on, it's a fun thing to fast. It's horrible to start, but it's awesome when you're this far. It was supposed to stop on the 28th, which was yesterday, but my wife and I just kept on. We decided we're going to just keep going for I don't know how long. It doesn't matter. We're after the Holy Ghost, so it don't matter. We are going to pay. You that don't believe in that, foolish. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you some declarations. As I started this thing, something happened to me. The Holy Ghost came in there and camped out, and I missed, I don't know, lots of nights in a row of sleep, just stayed up all night praying and just worshiping God. Just I put on this one song and for 8 hours. Every 2 minutes, it was starting over. And just sitting there worshiping all night. Did it day after day after day. And it's wonderful. And the Holy Ghost wants you to welcome him. And so I went out there, got my grandkids. After I do this thing y'all may or may not agree with, which is not irrelevant to me, but God wants me to do it. So there you go. I don't eat or drink. The men in the Bible that you want to be like, Elijah, Moses, Jesus, those guys, all of those guys fasted minimum of 40 days with no food and water. Okay, so all your whining is not relevant. The power of God comes to those that seek God. Jesus loves you unconditionally. You can't work your way in. What this does, your submission to him crops up the demons and flushes them out and away from you. That's what prayer and fasting does. It shows you your weakness and allows God to put his strengths in that place. That's what it does. There you go. All right. So this is what we do. The first, I don't know, 10 days or so, I didn't eat or drink nothing, right? And I'm just laying on the carpet before God. The Bible's going in Spanish. I listen to it the minimum of every day of 50 chapters. Okay. But what the Holy Ghost came to me, he said he wanted me to welcome him. I took my grandkids outside at the end of the 10-day deal. And we wrote big letters on the concrete, big giant letters, "Welcome, Holy Ghost." That was on the one side of the driveway when you pull in, you see these giant letters. All these people come, the mailman, all these people come to our ministry, and they look at that's what they see. Big giant letters, "Welcome, Holy Ghost." And on the other side, there's another three words. It says, "Holiness to the Lord." And that's what we got written on our thing. And then when you come to my door at this place here in Texas where our office is, it says, "Holiness to the Lord," in these big giant letters. You open the thing, walk in, there's these giant letters, bright orange, in the house thing. It's an apartment. And it says, "Holiness to the Lord." So this is what we do. You need to do some Bible study, because the only words allowed in the Holy of Holies was holiness to the Lord. It was on the table, and it was on the crown of the priest. That's it. You got it? So that means something to God. So what we're going to do is tell him how awesome he is right now. Holy Ghost, you are welcome here. Father, we want holiness in our lives. We want the mercy of God in our lives. We want the goodness of God in our lives. We call the peace of God into our lives. We call contentment into our lives. Thank you, great Holy Ghost. Thank you, great Holy Ghost.
Thank you, great Holy Ghost.
Jesus is King.
Jesus is King.
All right. Thank you. Have a seat and grab your Bible. You're going to need them. So is this all the trinkets that wants prayer up here? It don't seem like that's enough for the amount of folks that's in this building here. Y'all might ought to put some more. I don't know why you want me to ask you, but you're welcome to put some more stuff. Even when I'm talking, it's okay. You know, I get to travel so much now with some real famous people. And I get to see some of the most amazing miracles, weird stuff. Like I was in, I want to tell you this, it came to my mind, so I think it's probably God to tell you. Y'all turn over, I found a brand new verse a while ago. I was over there listening to the New Testament in Spanish this morning. And this new verse came to me. It's in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It's a brand new verse. Brand new verse. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And God wants us to read that. So y'all look that up. But I want to tell you this this miracle. It's weird. There was this... I got invited to Palembang, Indonesia. It's a Muslim state. And they hate Christianity there. I studied it before I went to find out that if I go there, I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. And so I did, but I decided that I'd go anyway. That Jesus needs to be talked about on all the corners of the planet. It don't matter what deity is in power. He needs to be not challenged. He needs to be defeated. There ain't no challenge. Jesus is king. Okay, so, I get there and, I felt nervous. I felt fear because of, I'm not the lowest profile person on the planet, you know, and good or bad, no matter what you think, you know, you think something. And so these pastors, you know, they said to me, "Don't worry, Brother David, you're going to be safe." You know, and I said to them, "I don't need your reassurance. I would have never come here if I had needed that. I need Jesus. What I need is Jesus." And they go, "Okay, then." And they said, "But there ain't no problem." I said, "All right." And I found that out when I drove up. They drove me up to this Hilton hotel thing. And as soon as I step out of the truck, there's a soldier standing there with one of those wands like you're at the airport. And he went up and down me, and I'm looking at him. And I said to him, "Excuse me, why are you doing that?" He said, "Because it's my job. You can't come in here unless we check you for bombs." I said, "This is weird. This is reversed." I said, okay, go ahead. So he checked me, my backpack, you know, and I got my big suitcase there, you know. And they got a thing, you got to actually, it's just like going to the airport. You got to run it through there and they look inside your deal for bullets and guns and bombs and stuff. And that's just to get you to your hotel room. All right, but there ain't no problem, see. And so I'm going along there. That's a pretty good piece of silver. And they come and got me and we went, you know, to this meeting, and it was, I don't know, a couple thousand pastors from 15 different Asian nations. It was a big deal going on. And I was blessed to be there, right? And, you know, and I'm throwing down, and the Holy Ghost come in there, and jewels started showing up on these people, and gold, and all sorts of stuff started happening. I was pretty happy. And about the third day, though, you know, we're doing like five services a day, and I'm doing a couple of them each day myself and some other people. This lady comes up there, and she's a Muslim, and she walks straight up to me, and she says to me, "You're an absolute liar." I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "I don't believe a word that has come out of your mouth. I've been listening to you for 3 days." I said, "Okay, that's great. Here's what you're going to do. Go to hell." Let me go ahead and tell you why I say that, because you deny Jesus, that's where you're going. Now, I don't mind you being a Muslim. I don't care who you worship. I don't care what you do. I don't care. Just get out of my face with it. Because I'm not one of these Christians that you're going to scare. Do me a favor and kill me so I can go be with Jesus. How's that sound to you? You got rain? I want to see it. If you don't, go sit down with the rest of them. She says, now watch. You talking about bold. I thought to myself, this woman here needs to get born again. Because the boldness she's got, we need in the kingdom. This is courage. And so she stuck her hand out like this. Her arm was straight out. But from here down was turned over the other way. In other words, when mine is like this, hers was the top of the hand. I don't know what you call that. It was sticking up. And I said, what does that have to do with me? She said, I don't believe you're Jesus. I don't believe your Bible. I don't believe a word that's come out of your mouth, but heal me. And I said to her, I said, you are a confusing individual. Not only do you believe a false God, but you lie to boot. Because you sit here and tell me you don't believe, but how are you going to get healed if I'm telling a lie? I rebuke you. She said, do what you have to, but heal my arm. And I'm just about ready to pull my hair out because I do have a lot. And she goes, I ain't getting born again. I ain't doing this. I'm not doing this. I said, okay, here's how it's going to go. I don't care what you want. Let me tell you how it's going to go. I'm going to take these two fingers right here, and I'm going to touch you on the forehead, and your life as you know it has ceased to exist. Because my God is going to invade every facet of your life, and you will never be okay anymore. Are you okay with that? She said, whatever. I said, yay. I reach up, touch that girl. I'm telling you, it looked like I took and gave her an uppercut. It looked like I hit her as hard as I could under the chin because all of a sudden her feet, her shoes are right in my face and she's flying backwards. And I thought, that's what made me nervous because there was a pretty good group of Muslims in there. And I thought, this is going to get them going right here. They're going to think I smacked that lady, you know, because there's no way to explain to them what I just did. No, if you don't know God at least a little bit, you're not going to copy this at all. And I said to myself, I need to evacuate. So I left. Started going down the line praying for people getting away from the event. And then I thought, now that's what cowards do. So I walked right back down there. And I'm looking at her. And then I couldn't help it. I started laughing at her because I told the ushers, pick her up. I want to do it again. And they reached to get her and they can't pull her off the concrete. She's stuck to the concrete. And I thought to myself, this is wonderful move. You guys can't pick up a 110-pound woman. My goodness. And I reached and got her and almost came away with a shirt. I mean, you could not pick her up. She was stuck to the concrete. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God. God's just got to do it. And he's got to pick the meanest one of the bunch. I said, okay, self, what are you going to do? And that's when the hurt arm, the arm that's twisted backwards from birth, raised up by itself. There ain't nobody touching it. Nobody's touching the arm. And she's the lady, the Muslim lady, starts screaming, who is he? Who is he? And, you know, there's 50 of us going, who? And she starts describing to us this man that's got a hold of her arm with this long white robe with a girdle, golden girdle around his waist. with his feet like burning furnace of fire, with his eyes like fire, with the voice of thunder that came out, with hair like white wool. And I said, yeah, that's the right guy. I know that guy. I don't see him, but that's the right fella. What's he doing? She said, he's twisting my arm. I said, I told you he was going to come get you. And right in front of us, I saw this with my very own eyes. Her elbow twisted and she was healed right in front of us. That's called a miracle. And I'm freaking out. The Muslim girl's freaking out. Jesus won't let her go. And he won't let her go. And there's nothing we can do about it because he seems to think he's in charge. I do understand we have him organized out of most every part of our church life, but every now and then he breaks rank and comes in. And that's what we wanted. And then in a minute she got up and she says, who was that fellow? I said, well, lots of people call him different things, but I call him Lord. His name is Jesus. I said, now here's how it's going to go. I'm going to touch you with these two fingers right here. And this Lord you just met is fixing to change your life. She said to me, bring it. And I touched her the second time. And this time she's wide awake, flying through the air. Before she hit the concrete, she's speaking in tongues. Yep. And I thought to myself, self, you have broke every rule in religious books. I told those pastors standing there, I said, look, we're fixing to get into some big trouble. Because God filled her with the Holy Ghost and she's not even saved yet. So I need y'all to get her saved so we can get out of hot water with the religious devils. I tell you, God does what he wants to. I know you think you got it organized and figured out, but I have got to warn you, you're running 180 the wrong way. You run it, Jesus, and let him do what he wants to, it will work out for you. 100% will it work out for you. Every time. Jesus is key. See, now that I made that bold statement of 100% God, how do I do it whenever I don't get my way? Like everybody in this room. See, the problem is not whether the Bible's true or not, and it's not whether God will give you what he says. It's getting your hands on it. It's having the patience with the Holy Ghost until it comes to pass what the Word of God says. See, you got to walk in faith. You have got to walk in positive faith. You don't ever entertain hell. You only entertain Jesus. Did you understand what I just said to you? Okay. That don't make you not feel effects of diseases. That makes you right with God. It's called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right standing with God in the Holy Ghost is all that matters. Nothing else does. Your friends are wrong. Your kinfolks are wrong. Jesus is right. Now, let's read this Bible. You want to? Wait a second. Hebrews 11:1, and last night I made a statement, and I got fussed at when I got home, so there's an actual guitar sitting up here. Okay, Hebrews 11:1, I want to read that to you. There's another miracle I want to talk about if I remember. Remind me, Ms. Hogan, about, I didn't introduce Ms. Hogan last night, and I'm about to get myself in trouble again. Stand up, woman, and tell him hello or something. Let's see. We're working on, was it 43 years, right? 43, that's a good long time. It's not enough. So I'm going to stick around. Is that all right? You good? All right. Holy Ghost. All right. Remind me about the gun battle thing where all them people got, gun battle thing. I'll remember it. Hebrews 11, verse 1. I'm going to read it to you out of my Bible. Because the reason I always say my Bible says is because I know everybody sitting in here has got probably 20 or 30 Bibles in your immediate surroundings. But having them sitting on your shelf doesn't make them active for you. You have to actually read them and believe what it says. All right. And this is what it says. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is. Not 20 years from now when you think you're okay or your elders decide that you're all right. It's when God says you're all right. And that was the day you got born again. Now, this is going to bring up some more prickly pear religious devils. I teach my people in Mexico, the day they get born again, they can raise the dead. They don't need anything but the name of Jesus. The moment that you are brought into the blood covenant of God's mercy, you have all of heaven at your disposal. Regardless of your proper introduction, your understanding, your want, your need, your desire has nothing to do with it. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, heaven went in rank and file behind you with you on your behalf. Everything heaven has is at your disposal. Nothing is withheld from you. You don't have to beg for the Holy Ghost. You don't have to speak in tongues. You have to use the name of Jesus. Those things are benefits and blessings and honor, and I need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. We need to speak in tongues more than anybody else. You need to make everybody in the Walmart scared of you because you're speaking in tongues. I do. It's easy to clear them lanes when it's... Somebody's standing in front of me at the shotgun aisle. I just start speaking in tongues, and they think I'm crazy, and they give me the shotguns. Okay, now faith is. Say it with me. Now. Okay. Now faith is. I can tell you what you're not going to do. You're not going to go further than me. You might run, but I'm going to catch you. Because today I can go out right now and run a marathon. So I'm going to beat you. I will track you down. And I will tell you again. Now faith is. Now. We're going to contend for the faith. Over there in wherever that was. Jude something 3, I think. We're going to contend for the faith. All right. Now, the question you should have been shouting to me, and none of you will because you have this, you speak gospel and you have this religious etiquette. You would rather walk out of here on your way to Whataburger wondering than you had speak up and break some sort of rule. You need to know this stuff. How do you contend for the faith? Of course, Ephesians 6, 10, having done all, 11, 12, and 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, after you've done all the standing, you keep standing. Oh, I'm going to be all right now. I got Captain America up here with me. He's a superhero, and I'm a real one. There you go. So, okay. So, we're going to another guitar, huh? Well, very nice. Now faith is. Say it with me. Now. Come on, say it. Now. Now. Well, Brother David, I want to see it. Oh, you whiny brat. Good for you. Like everybody else don't. I mean, come on. Duh. You're so used to whining and getting your way. Get over it and mature up and grow up. And let's walk this thing out with the Holy Ghost. Let's believe the gospel. Regardless of our surroundings, our circumstances, has nothing to do with the name of Jesus. You're too aggressive. You're crazy. Probably. I have to agree with you, bro. Jesus is king. You see these right here, these three right here? You see them, they're attentive, they're looking at me. There's something I got that they think they can take. And let me just tell you, I used to think if I could just raise one person from the dead. You know, and now this hand right here has got 32 dead raisings right here. It's the same. 32 in my life, me personally as a human. And that's awesome. And it's going to be more than that this year in Jesus' name. And I thought, boy, if I could just, but now we've got over 500 dead raisings in our work. It is a spirit of power and mercy. It's called a spirit of might in Isaiah chapter 11. There's seven spirits organized by God and listed in Isaiah. It's 11, right? Yeah. 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. The spirit of might is upon us. And you can see, I feel it. I feel it. It wants out of me. And it wants out of me on the humanity. And it wants to change the environment of everybody that hears. And it will change the environment. It's a very amazing thing. But then after all of these miracles and all this stuff all over the planet and all these great, wonderful revivals I've been part of and with, and I'm going to continue in Jesus' name, I have come to the realization that the reason for all of this stuff for me in my life is not, I haven't written one book. I have not got anything. There's not a table back there from me. Real famous fellow that does the important people talks. What's his name? Sid Roth. He said to me, "You're an unusual man." I said, "Thanks for the compliment." He said, "What am I going to sell?" I said, "Nothing. But I've got to have advertisement when we're doing your deal." I said, "Give away Bibles. If you need me to buy them for you, I will. That's all. You want me talking on your deal? You're going to give the Word of God out. And that's all you're giving out." He said, "Deal." I said, "All right." So we did it. All right. It's important who are you? What are you doing? If I said to you, "Let's contend for the faith," most of you are considering yourselves doing that by dressing up in your best clothes today and driving your fancy car down here and walking 25 feet to the front door and coming in here and sitting down and putting up with this for 2 hours. To you, that's contending for the faith. You are a privileged, awesome people. You need to get past yourself and into the Holy Ghost. And so I'm going to talk a couple of things over here, will you? One of them is found over somewhere in Psalms. I'll have to find it. Hang on. Just go to Psalms. Tell me when faith is. Somebody tell me.
Now.
Say it again.
Now.
When is faith?
Now.
When is faith?
Now.
It is. It's right now. You don't need me to touch you for your fibromyalgia, your osteoporosis, or your diabetes. You need God to touch you. You don't need me to touch you because of your glaucoma or your your cysts or your problems or your... You need God to touch you. And you need to let Him do it right now. In Jesus' name. Shatabataba. Holy Ghost. People, you know, I usually run with a team. Usually 7 or 8 of my men are with me. And we bang around and have a blast. And I always take the incurables. It don't matter what nation I go to. My funnest thing in life to do is to trounce hell. And I find the worst case scenario I can find, and I stick my finger in it. Because the moment I touch it, it has to obey the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. You saw me last night. I laid hands on the sick. I laid hands on, I'll stay for an hour or so until I get too drunk, and then I got to leave. You know, that's fine. But I like to do it because God, Jesus said, lay hands on the sick. So I personally do that. It's what I do because I like to. Like I was in Mexico, and we had this big old conference, and it was a big deal. There's lots of thousands of people there. One of my elders' wives, she's a scary lady. I get really nervous around her. In all the traveling I've done, in all these places I've been, she's the only person I've ever met that all 9 gifts are active working in her. She's freaky. She'll all of a sudden, I'll watch her. I'll be up there talking, and I'm always nervous around her because there's nothing you can plan that she's going to do. She ain't going to do nothing organized with the rest of us. She'll just all of a sudden start shaking, and I just go, God, give me 5 more minutes. I've invested a lot of money in this and organized all this and killed animals and got food and done all this stuff. At least we could eat some mole, for heaven's sakes, with some tortillas, hombre. Bien picoso. Eso sí, hombre. And for you weddos, you don't get it, so don't worry. I'm not going to tell you. And so, you know, this lady stands up, and then she goes to shaking, and she goes into a trance, and then she starts speaking in some unknown language. And we're all, me and about 200 elders are just looking at her, you know. And then all of a sudden, people start shaking around her. It'll be 10 or 15. It could be men, women, kids. They start speaking in tongues. They understand each other, and we're just out. And then they'll go like this troop of renegade, crazy, marauding people. They just break all protocol and just start tearing everything up. And the next thing you know, there'll be 1,000 people laid out on the ground, and all of them will be healed. You need one of those. They're unusual and hard to put up with, but they are very necessary. So I go to this meeting, you know, this big thing, a few thousand folks, and I'm, you know, I'm standing up there, and I don't do anything unless the blood of Jesus is involved. In my hour work, where I actually have a little bit of say on what the musicians do, I tell them, you start with la sangre de Cristo si tiene poder, hombre. Start with the blood of Jesus has the power. That's where you start. And where God takes you from there, who cares? I won't be there. I'll be gone. I'll be off on a trip somewhere with the Holy Ghost, and I won't even hear it anyway. And so I'm standing up there, and we're going, right? And the sangre de Cristo tiene poder. Yay, woo! And the Holy Ghost hit me. He just does what he wants to. He's so invited, but when he does come and he the only reason I knew he came was because he hit me and I started spinning in a circle. And I get dizzy when I spin, and I don't like that. And when I stopped, this lady with all these gifts is holding this kid down there. It's her son. He's 16 years old, and I didn't know that he was dying with a brain tumor. They kept it from me on purpose. I dove off that platform. It was way up there, and I'm... ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué te pasa? ¿Qué pasa con ese muchacho? What's going on with this kid here? What's up? What's up? Da-da-da-da-da-da. And she just looks at me and she's crying. She said, I've done everything I can. I need you, Brother David. I said, I told you you needed me. She said, I don't want to lose my son. I said, what? Big brain tumor. He is already in a coma. It went purple. It was all, we were at the end. Now listen, you need this. I laid on top of this kid with the brain tumor in a coma, laying flat dab on top of him, on the concrete, smushing him. And I got him by the mouth, by the face. And my nose is on his, my mouth is on his lips. And I breathed on him. Can you tell me why? Because in Genesis chapter 2, my Bible says, and God breathed on man and he became a living being. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Jesus, the second Adam, became a life-giving spirit. So that's what I've got in me. I have the life of God in me. I have the wind of heaven in me. Every breath I take is the wind of God. Boy, you think a lot of yourself. I hadn't said nothing about me yet. This is all God. And when I breathed on this guy, mouth to mouth, I pulled my handkerchief out and smacked him with it. Because you need all the help you can get. This is the secret weapon. You have to release the secret weapon. And when I did that, I started doing this over the top of him like this with my handkerchief. I'm sitting straddle of him like this now. And I'm looking right at that mama. And right above my head, this tornado formed. It picked me up off of the kid, laid me flat. That's all I got. When I woke up 4.5 hours later, the entire place looked like a pine forest after a tornado goes through it. There were several thousand people laying every direction out. My body doesn't function from the waist down. I'm up on my hands trying to figure it out. I'm drunk. I'm dizzy. I'm trying to sort it out. And there's the kid that I was on top of sitting on the bench looking at me. And I said, what's up? ¿Qué pasa, hombre? You know what he said to me? Hermano David, tengo hambre. Brother David, I'm hungry. I said, well, I'm in charge of the kitchen. So go back there. Ain't going to be nobody awake. They're going to all be knocked out. And the angels are cooking. Tell one of them angels, I said, give you a bowl of arroz y frijoles, beans and rice. So he goes back there and he comes back. I said, did the angel give it to you? Yes, sir, he did. I said, how long has it been since you eat? A month. I hadn't had solid food in a month. God healed that boy completely. Shalabatatata. What we need is this Holy Ghost tornado to bash us in our ideas and let him become the controlling power. So, How do we contend for this kind of faith? How is it that we got our hands on it? Isn't that the question? This is what you should have screamed at me last night. It's good for you to tell us to contend for the faith. How in the cat hair do you do that? That's the right question. So let's go over here to Psalms 15, verse 1. We got to go, Miss Hogan. Boom. Okay. We're going to cat hair this thing. Here we go. Lord, is this the right entity? Jesus. Who shall dwell? I will. I'm going to tell you up front, I'm going to. You got that? This is where you're supposed to say me too. There you go, finally. I am going to contend. I am going to stand. I am going to dwell in the presence of the Lord. Who shall dwell permanently on your holy hill? Moi. Yo voy a pararme en la montaña del Espíritu Santo. I'm going to stand in the power of, in the presence of the Holy Ghost on the mountain of God. Number one, verse two. He who walks and lives uprightly. I am telling you, contending for the faith does not make allowances for your opinion. We're going to lose that today. I don't want your yell buts and what ifs. I don't want past history of your failure. You're a human. I know who you are. You don't have to tell me over and over and over. You don't have to sit there with your shoulders slumped down and your little pies. That is nothing but a pride spirit. Be gone from me, demon. We will square our shoulders and look straight into heaven's eyes and tell him, thank you. Thank you, mercy. Tell him, go ahead, come on. Look him in the face. Thank you. Thank you, mercy. I will walk uprightly. I will. But you can't. You're a human. You're going to make mistakes. Didn't say I wasn't going to do that. I said I was going to walk uprightly. Sort yourself out and quit worrying me. I got it, I'm a human. I don't need something else telling me how awful I am. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. What do you need, Brother David? In your ministry, what do you need? Jesus. These men asked me yesterday, what do you need? Jesus. I'm sitting in a billionaire, B. I'm sitting in his office in Mobile, Alabama. He looked me right in the face. Beautiful. His shoes, I don't know, $1,000, $2,000, I don't know. Lots of alligators died. Italian alligators. And he says to me, here's what he says to me. I could underwrite your ministry with one check. What do you want? I laughed at him. You've got nothing I want, son. But I've got everything you want. All you've got is power and money and prestige and political prowess and finances. I've got the Holy Ghost. The God that I serve, the King. The King's heart is in his hand and he manipulates it where he wants it to go. And that man started crying, a billionaire, starts crying, Brother Hogan, help me. I said, now when I touch you, these guys are not going to shoot me, are they? He had them four big old guys with them automatic things. He said, they're not going to. They got orders to leave you alone. I said, then we're going to have it on like Donkey Kong over here. And I reached up, I said, you see these two fingers right here? Your world is forevermore going to be changed. Jesus. Dude, you should have seen it. He flew over one desk and under another one. Boom. And then bodyguards reached for him. I said, oh, no, Jesus. Boom. I rest my case. And I walked out of there with my shoulders square, went and got on his jet, and he carried me home so I could preach that night. Okay. Walk uprightly. Never follow your need. Follow the Holy Ghost. Never follow your want. Follow the Holy Ghost. Never follow your greed. Follow the Holy Ghost. Walk uprightly and blameless. How do you contend for the faith? That's the right question. Thank you for asking it. He who works rightness and justice and speaks and thinks the truth. You know, I come up in a house I've never been in my life. I'm grateful to be here, but yet I am compelled to look at you and tell you the truth. I have no option but to tell you religion is a devil. Any form of it. Every idol is a deception. Jesus is king. I want you to raise the dead. I want you to heal the sick. I want that baby to walk out of that chair right there. To get that, we got to walk and live uprightly and blameless. We got to work righteousness and justice and speak the truth and think it in our heart. Number three, verse three. Slanders does not slander with his tongue. No matter how evil or how awful, shut up. The Bible clearly states, hold your tongue. There's some of you sitting here, you are backbiting demons from hell. The Lord rebuke you. Clean that tongue up. And this is how you do it. Reach in there and get a hold of it and shut up. Let the peace of God come over you. Let the goodness of God rule in your heart and your spirit. Mature. You don't owe them a rebuttal. You owe God praise. How is this? Is gospel okay for you? This is Walsall time, Jack. Shinata. Pull that shield of faith up. Come on, get it on. Pull that sword out of that scabbard. Bust that rust off of it. Look at hell in the face and tell him, bring it. There's so many of you that are so full of the salvation of God, the goodness, the meekness, the wonder of God, but you're walking around naked. You got the helmet of salvation, but you don't have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. You don't have the breastplate of righteousness. Your loins are vulnerable. They're not girded about with truth. Your feet are not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you do not contend for the faith in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues continually. I'm here to clothe you in the power of God. David, your much learning fasting has made you crazy. Nothing yet. I will be, though. See, I always tell folks this. I'm going to tell you right now, and then I'm going to stop and we're going to pray. Here's how it's going to go. Wait a minute. That's a probable. What I just said to you, probably. People look at me all the time. Hermano David, has llegado muy para allá, hombre. You've gone too far, David. David, you've gone way too far, son. You need to come back just a little. You're making me uncomfortable, man. Don't you get it yet that that's the idea? Heaven don't want you comfortable. Heaven wants you on fire. Heaven wants your world rocked and socked with the Holy Ghost. I'm going it too far. I'll send you a postcard. Because I'm serious. I'm you people are looking. I mean, I'm talking about important people. Patting me on the shoulder. Brother David, you're going too far, son. I'm concerned about you. And I turn, look at him. Finally, I'm successful. If you were concerned, I'm going down the right trail. Engage it all and kill them. What do you think that sword's for? Hell needs to be afraid of you every day you wake up. You've gone too far, boy. Not quite, but I'm going there. My question is this. What do you think's on the other side of too far? That's, what do you think they'll call it when we get there and go past it? Come on, Holy Ghost. I think it's the other side of Jordan. I think it's the place I'm looking for. Shada-bada-bada, the fat of the land, where the land flows with milk and honey. Who cares about the Hittites, Jebusites, Pharisites. Hittites, Jebusites. Fair you sees and sad you sees. They ain't none of them fair and they all sad. I need you to contend for the faith. I've heard a little of your history now. You will be held accountable for this portal you got. Responsibility is a serious matter with heaven. And it needs to be considered. You comfortable, you in trouble. And I'm not talking about a sufficient amount of money or food. I'm talking about you, spiritually, fat catting, because you got it. You ain't got nothing. God is big. We are just barely off to first base. I got a grand slam. We got to knock a grand slam. We got to put this thing out of the park. Just cause we can. Slander, be gone. Reproach, be gone. Vile person from hell, the Lord rebuke you. But that's my grandson. He needs mercy. No, what he needs is a good right hook. He needs the Holy Ghost to slap him into next week. The Lord rebuke you, vile demon. Think you're going to take up camp in the house of God. You are not welcome here. I burn you with the fire of God. I ain't sending you out. I'm going to burn you up. Here's what we're going to do. Verse 4, second phrase. He who honors those who fear the Lord. I know you're a fear of the Lord bunch. That's why God's brought his power here. Now you listen to me. We're going to honor you. Stand up. I call you blessed. I call you filled. I call on mercy. I call on anointing. I call on goodness. Let me tell you, just a few weeks ago, I was down there in Nicaragua. And I was out in this village out yonder. No, it wouldn't do me no good to tell you where it's at because you ain't ever going. You don't care because you ain't never been there. So there you go. Now listen to me. I went out there and we're going to feed these people that's starving out there, right? We got, I don't know, lots of hundreds of foods. And we go there and they tell me, we ain't got enough food. I said, that ain't no heel for a stepper. Bring me one of them pots over here. We lay our hands on the pots. And this is how you speak to the pot. You then here that need food in your house, speak to your pot. Sit your pot on the counter and speak to it. This is what you say. In the name of Jesus who I serve, fill up and shut up. My Bible says there is no lack under any level, under any circumstances. He is all sufficient and he's enough. Shetane. Karetana Shatane. And I'm standing there, you know, and these pots are filling up and there's enough food all of a sudden. Where'd it come from? Don't care. I just do my job and everything else happens because it's supposed to. Pots do their job when you tell them to. And that guy that was running, he walks up to me. He said, "You freaked me out pretty good." I said, "Good? Good for you. I'm glad you freaked out. What do you want?" He said, "I want you to get up here before we give these people this food, and I want you to pray over it, and I want you to heal some sick people." I said, "Done. What else?" He said, "Absolutely, do anything you want to." I said, "Fine. I'll have fun then. Thank you." So I got up there, and I said, told him a couple of miracles. This is a federal school building. This is not a church setting whatsoever. This is a school, a federal place. Told him a couple of miracles. I said, "Now who wants to be healed? Come up here." All of a sudden, this mama comes crying. She brings this kid up, and she says, "He's born deaf." I said, "Okay." And then I remembered that yesterday on the bus, they was carrying us to another place we was going to do it. And one of them women on there that was part of the team of the people I was helping out, she was deaf. And I said, "Touch yourself. I ain't going to touch you. Touch yourself." She reached up and touched her ear. Bang. God opened her ear. It was a year or something. Couldn't hear for, I don't know what reason. Don't remember. Don't care. And I remembered that she got healed yesterday. I said, "Come up here." And she had never been in front of a crowd in her life. You see how I'm calm and I'm not intimidated at all. I said, "You see this kid right here? He's born deaf. I realize you're one of them people that like to eat lots of cake and say hallelujah, but you don't want to do nothing. Here's how we're going to work today. Today we work. You're going to do my job for me. Pull that kid up here and put him on your chest." She did that. I said, "Put your finger in his ear." She did that. It was this left one. It was completely deaf. The right one had a little bit of hearing. I said, "Speak to that ear." I said, "The feeling you felt yesterday when your ear popped open, bring that feeling and stick it in that kid's ear. That's called the power of God." And she started crying and weeping, and all of a sudden the kid freaked. Both ears popped open, deaf from birth. Did you hear me? This is what we want here. This is what we want. I honor you in the name of Jesus. I speak honor over this house. I speak blessings over this house in Jesus' name. Now, here's what I want to do. I've got to go to Fort Worth. I apologize to you about that up front. But he already told you that, so I'm free to go now. So here's how it's going to go. If what I'm telling you is what you're looking for, and I know it is, because I know God spoke to me, see, I would like for you to come up to this thing here. Whatever y'all call it. I don't remember what the new words y'all call that stuff. Here, Ms. Hogan, take this, please. I welcome Salahori. If this is what you're looking for, I want you to come up here for the presence of the Lord. You boys going to sing something, or y'all want to be down there in the thing? It don't matter to me either way. If you're going to avail yourself, get up here and start with the blood and go from there, because I'm going to be gone, buddy. I call you blessed. Do you hear me? I'm not harping on past failures or present. Are future references of the devil. I am not. That's a lie. I won't do that. What I've come here to tell you is how to contend for the faith. You allow yourself to read Psalms 15. Go back through it slow. I did it too fast. Go, Psalms 34, Psalms 35, Psalms 37, Psalms 38. Read them slow. Mark 9. Matthew 17, read these chapters in the Bible slowly. glean from them, thinking about how to contend for the faith. We can do this. Do you see? I believe that. I know it's on me. I know. I feel it on me. You see, I believe it, right? If you knew who you was, you are so blessed. You are so awesome. You are who God died for. You are who God raised from the dead for. You are that person. You are that person who receives the blessings of the Father. That's who you are. And I honor you today, while it is called today. I look you right in the face, unashamedly, boldly I proclaim how awesome it is to be a brother in the Lord with you. All of our failures, shortcomings, clumsiness, awkwardness, who we really are, God makes the difference. This is where you tell the devil, put that in your pipe and smoke it. We can do this. Every nation I get to go to, I get to see the power and miracles of God. Everybody in here that's got a sickness or disease or a financial problem, marital problem, kids, grandkids, job related, whatever, neighborhood, raise your hands up. That should be just about everybody. Wow, how prophetic. Now, I've told you who you are. You who fear the Lord. Now, you look at hell right in the face, right now, boldly, bold as a lion, and you tell him, today is where you back down. In the name of Jesus. Because we are in agreement as touching any one thing, and it shall be done of them, of the Father, in Jesus' name. Now stand there and worship God, and y'all enjoy it.